This is Dr. Benny Tate, and you're listening to the Leads Club podcast, all about leadership, personal growth, and encouraging you in your walk with God. Our goal is simple, to help you lead like you never have before in your church, business, home, or whatever platform God has given you. Our next Lead Club session begins now. Greetings and welcome to today's edition of our monthly Leads Club. I so appreciate everyone being involved in this taping. Basically, this is a recording for pastors and Christian leaders. My heart is to help Christian leaders, and that's why we do the Leads Club, and we send it to you free of cost. We even take care of the postage because we want to make an investment in you. And what I basically do is I have been in the ministry now for 35 years, and I want to take what I've learned and I want to pour it into you. And so that's why we come to our lesson this week. I want to talk to you about a minister's greatest battle. A minister's greatest battle. There's a verse that jumped out at me. It's in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. This is what the verse says. It says, "They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept." They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. Now, a keeper of the vineyard was a caretaker. And we know that a vineyard produces fruit. And the writer said, I was made keeper of the vineyard, but my own vineyard have I not kept. And we each have a vineyard. Mine's in Milner, Georgia. Yours may be in Dallas, Texas, or Birmingham, Alabama, or Jackson, Mississippi. But God has given all of us that are in Christian ministry a vineyard. But we want to make sure that our own vineyard we have kept. I recently read the following stats. 90% of pastors work between 55 and 75 hours a week. 70% of pastors are fighting depression. 50% of those who start out in ministry will not last 5 years. 1,700 pastors every month are leaving the ministry. 70% of pastors say they don't have one close friend. See, there's so much to do in the ministry. There's meetings, there's service, there's visits, there's calls, there's sermons to prepare, there's many times conflict, and there's resolution that has to be resolved, there's board meetings, there's responsibilities, there's staff meetings, and many times we have so much to do, it literally drowns out our time with the Lord. Many times we're keeper of the vineyard, but our own vineyard we have not kept. You say, well, I understand, because if you have a large church, you're busy. You have a lot of staff and you have a lot of responsibility. Well, that's true. And a lot of pastors are busy because they have a large church and they have a large staff. But I know a lot of churches where the pastor is busy because he has no staff. He has no staff, and perhaps he's even bivocational. And so he's having to work a job as well as do the responsibilities of the ministry. So everything's relevant. I remember hearing the story one time about a guy who comes to a new church as pastor, and he'd been there quite a while, and the grass was getting high in the yard, and the board members came to the pastor and said, you know, the grass is getting high, and the pastor who was here before you, our former pastor, he used to cut the grass. The pastor said, yes, and I've contacted him, and he doesn't want to do it anymore. Well, it's relevant. We can be busy with a small church. We can be busy with a large church. But busy is busy. But I've learned that many times we get so busy. We're so busy keeping the vineyard. Even in our private time, even in our devotion time, we're looking for something to say, well, perhaps I can preach this. Perhaps I can use this in a sermon. Because the devil had rather you prepare a sermon than to prepare yourself. The devil had rather you prepare a sermon as prepare yourself. And I want to say a couple things. This certainly comes from the bottom of my heart. Leaders, if you do something long enough, if you're not awful careful, you'll be doing it on autopilot. And your dependence will not be upon the Lord. And I'd also like to say, sometimes we equate activity. And because we're active, that validates what I'm doing or what I'm not doing. But because I'm busy, this must be good. But I'm convinced sometimes if the enemy can't make us bad, he'll make us busy. There's a scripture in Mark chapter 3 that just jumps out at me. In Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, this is what the Bible says. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. It was interesting that he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. Before he sent them out to preach, before he sent them out to heal those that were sick or to cast out devils, he ordained the 12 that they might be with him. And the Lord wants us to be with him. The Lord wants us to keep our own vineyard. We can be so busy keeping the vineyards that we're not keeping our own vineyard. I am convinced it's a minister's greatest battle. I love when David goes up against Goliath. He said, the Lord delivered me out of a paw of a lion. The Lord delivered me out of a paw of a bear. And he'll deliver this Philistine into my hand. What's so interesting? David was all alone, just he and God, when God delivered him out of the paw of a lion and out of the paw of the bear. And God showed me something. You'll never be any more for God in public than you are for God in private. And if God's going to exalt us in public, it's because we have a private time with him and we keep our own vineyard. When I think about pastors, I think about the little boy that goes down to the store and he says, I want to buy a box of Tide washing detergent. And the storekeeper says, son, why do you want a box of Tide? And he said, well, I'm going to wash my cat. He said, oh, son, you don't need to get a box of Tide to wash your cat. He said, oh, yes, I want to bathe my cat. I want to get a box of Tide. And so he gets it, and a couple of days later, he comes back, and the storekeeper says to him, how's the cat? The little boy says, the cat's dead. He said, I knew that was going to happen. And the little boy said, no. It wasn't the Tide that killed him. It was the spin cycle that got him. And sometimes as leaders, we feel like we're in a spin cycle. We feel like we're just pulled here and pulled there. And we're so busy. We're so busy keeping the vineyard. But our own vineyard have we not kept. Beautiful story that illustrates this point is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. It's the story about Mary and Martha. I refer to them as Meatloaf Martha and Meditating Mary. Martha was busy cleaning, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, Mary's mentioned three times in the Bible. And she's always at the feet of Jesus. But you know what's interesting? Mary's at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is frustrated with her. You know what I've learned? Many times when we're not at the feet of Jesus like we ought to be, we're frustrated with those around us. And that was Martha's situation. She was, Jesus had came to the home there, and she was so busy doing what she deemed that was important. She was literally frustrated at Mary, who was actually doing what she should have been doing. Now, I want you to see three points from this story that I believe will help each and every one of us in our private devotion. The first point I want you to see is decision. Decision. Mary made a decision to spend time with the Lord. Verse 42, even Jesus alluded to this. He said, Mary hath chosen the good part. Mary hath chosen the good part. And I would challenge you each day, no matter how busy you are, make time and take time to spend with God. See, what begins by desire has to be maintained by discipline. Dr. W.A. Criswell used to say to young preachers, lads, give your mornings to the Lord. Well, you know, the Bible says in Psalms 5 and 3, I've often thought about David, he had so many responsibilities as king of Israel. But he said these words in Psalms 5 and 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Jesus in Mark 1 and 35 says, and in the morning, rising a great while before day, departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Pastors, I'm not talking about taking time to get a message. I'm talking about a time that you get to know the Lord. I'm talking about a time that you make a decision that you say, God can't do something through me if he's not doing something in me. And I'm going to make a conscious decision every day to spend time with the Lord. Decision is the first word I want you to see. But there's a second word I want you to see. It's the word discrimination. Verse 42, Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good part. Mary has chosen the good part. You know, it's easy to choose between good and bad. But sometimes it's difficult to choose between good and best. See, there'll always be a visit you need to make. There'll always be a call you need to return. There'll always be a letter you need to write. There'll always be a sermon you need to prepare. There'll always be a contact that you need to make. But what's so important is you discriminate between the good and the best. See, according to verse 40, Mary had been serving too. She had been serving too. And I understand, when we do ministry, we want to do ministry with excellence. We want to get our facilities nice. We want everything to be prepared. We want to have all the companies coming on Sunday, and we want to have everything nice. But we must understand, our priority is spending time with God. You know, the largest churches in our world are in Seoul, Korea. The largest Methodist church in the world is in Seoul, Korea. The largest Assembly of God church in the world is in Seoul, Korea. I remember at one time Paul Youngi Cho pastored there and had 750,000 members. But what was interesting from research, the average pastor in Seoul, Korea spends 2 to 3 hours alone with God each day in prayer and private devotion. The average full-time worker in America spends 7 to 8 minutes each day alone with God in private devotion. Let me just challenge you. Find you a place. Find you a place each day. You know what was interesting? When they came to arrest Jesus, Judas knew where to find him. He's in the garden. That's his place of prayer. Find you a place every day. Get you a pad. Get you a pen. Because when you spend time with God, he's going to speak to you. Get you a prayer list that you pray over. And have you a plan to read the Bible or a good devotional. Point number one, make a decision that each day there's going to be a time I'm going to meet with God. Discrimination. I'm going to make a commitment between the good and the best. And then the third word I want you to see is duration. Duration. You know, the Bible says in verse 42, Jesus said of her, "She hath chosen the part that shall not be taken away." She hath chosen the part that shall not be taken away. You know, Adrian Rogers said, God doesn't have favorites, but he does have intimates. You know what I've learned? I believe tithing. I believe that if we give God the first 10%, he'll make the 90% go farther. And God showed me something. He said to me, if I can do that with your money, I can do that with time. And if we'll give God the best part of our day, he'll make the time go farther. I've learned if you give the Redeemer your time, the Redeemer will redeem your time. Many times when I've spent private time with God, sermon thoughts would come to my mind. I got some of my best thoughts when I was just spending time with the Lord. I've learned when I spend time with the Lord, my sermon preparation goes faster. I've learned when I'm spending time with the Lord, my preaching is more effective because I preach out of my overflow. See, there's been many times I preached a sermon and the people would say to me, "Pastor, that's a good sermon. That's wonderful." But in my heart of hearts, I knew it wasn't good. Because I knew I was in relationship with God, but I wasn't in fellowship with God. Barbara and I married 32 years ago, and we got our marriage license at the Marin County Courthouse in Jasper, Tennessee. And you can go there to that courthouse, I'm sure it's been on record now, for 32 years because we've always been in relationship, but we hadn't always been in fellowship. And my marriage is not pleasant when I'm not in fellowship. And my relationship with the Lord's not pleasant. It's not effective when I'm not in fellowship. And we've got to see, I make a decision. I discriminate between the good and the best. But I realize the duration, the long-term effect is going to come when I'm in proper fellowship with the Lord. Two men were chopping wood one day, and every hour one would stop and he would rest. But what was amazing, at the end of the day, the one that was stopping every hour to rest, he had chopped double the wood as the other man. And the other man goes to his boss and he says, "I don't understand. We're both chopping wood, but he stops to rest and I just keep on chopping, but he's chopped double the wood." He said, "Oh, but what you don't understand. When he stops to rest, he's also sharpening his axe. Every time he rests, he sharpens his axe. And I want you to know today, pastors, when we take time with God, it sharpens our axe for ministry. One of my favorite biblical stories is the story of Elijah. You know the story of Elijah, how an earthquake comes and the scripture says that's not God, and the fire comes and that's not God. But God speaks to him in a still small voice. Maybe a better translation would be a gentle whisper. And God showed me something. He whispered to Elijah, "Don't you long for the Lord to whisper to you? Don't you long for the Lord to speak to you in a gentle whisper?" Well, here's what God showed me. You can't whisper to somebody unless you're close to them. God can't whisper to us unless he's close to us. And for God to speak to us, we got to be close. But I tell you something else, friend. For you to whisper to somebody or somebody to whisper to you, you got to be still. Maybe that's why God said, "Be still and know that I'm God." For God to whisper to us, we got to be close to him. For God to whisper to us, we got to be still. I've been in ministry for 35 years. I know what it is to now pastor a church with 7,000 members. Sunday, we had 3,200 in attendance. That's just a normal day. 5 campuses. Probably 100 employees. But I want you to know, my greatest battle is the fact that many times in my life, God made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I want to pray for you, and then I want to share, as I do every taping, a couple ideas that will be helpful to you. Let me pray for you. Lord, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray for every man, woman that's listening to this taping. I pray, God, that you will help us to realize that our responsibility is to not build a big church. Our responsibility is to know you. And help us, Lord, to focus more on building a great church, more on building a great ministry, more on not being a great speaker, but help us more to focus on knowing you. And God, we know you through spending time with you. You ordained us, Lord, to be with you, and then you sent us forth to do ministry. May you spark a spark in our hearts that we want to know you on a level that we've not known you before. I pray for every individual listening to this recording. I pray, God, that they make a commitment that I'm going to keep my own vineyard. And I pray this prayer, asking for blessings on their lives. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of ideas before we close out this recording. Many years ago when I started going to conferences, I learned that if I got a good idea, it was worth the admission price. So I want to give you a couple ideas. Idea number one is I want to challenge you every Sunday morning. When I arrive at Rock Springs Church, I go into a room, and there's some brothers in that room. I'll simply walk in. I get on my knees and they place their hands on me and pray for me. It's my strength for ministry. It's my strength for the day. And I will, it doesn't matter if you have to start with one or two. Pastor, get you some prayer partners who will meet you before the service, whether it's in a classroom or in your office. Kneel down, sit down in a chair. Get those brothers, get those sisters to place their hands upon you and simply pray for God's touch and God's presence for you. Many times I've been weary or my mind has been preoccupied, and those individuals place their hands upon me. It matters not if you've got a small church. It matters not if you've got a large church. Get you prayer partners to pray for you. Idea number two, October the 16th is coming up. October the 16th is National Bosses Day. Everybody has a boss. I've often said if a man's retired and he's married, he still has a boss. But everybody has a boss. And on Sunday, October the 16th, it's National Bosses Day. I want to encourage you to challenge your people to invite your boss to work on National Bosses Day. Invite your boss to church on National Bosses Day. I've done this many times, and it's a wonderful opportunity for employees to invite their employer to church. And then many times I'll preach a message on take this job and love it, or something to do with labor and working hard. But it's a wonderful, wonderful day, and it gives your people an opportunity to invite their boss. I would like to say to you, all you pastors and leaders out there, April the 18th through the 27th of 2017, I and Stan Toler are taking a group to Israel. We'd love for you to join us. I promise you this trip will change your life. And we're going to Israel on April the 18th through the 27th. I'll be glad if you'd like to go. I'll be glad to call your church leader. I'll be glad to call the chairman of your deacons and challenge your church to send you on this life-changing trip. All you've got to do is contact me, and as I say, I'll be glad to contact the leaders in your church and challenge them to send you and perhaps even you and your wife on this trip. God bless you, pastors. I believe in you. I'm here for you. I want to come to your churches. You said, Brother Benny, will you come? Contact us. We'll do our best to come to your church and speak for you and to your wonderful people. Thank you. God bless, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for today's Leeds Club session. We hope you feel encouraged and empowered. If you would like more information or resources about leadership, be sure and check out our website at rockspringsonline.com/leadership. Join us next time for more insights on leadership, personal growth, and encouragement. As you walk with God, we want to help you get to the next level.